When I served as a vicar or student pastor, I was placed down in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, at a church about this size. And while I was down there, I had the opportunity to be both a fire and police chaplain, which was really great. And so how that worked is I had a radio, and I would often respond to calls that would maybe warrant a chaplain, which was a lot of fun because I had lights and sirens in my truck, but that's a sermon for another day. And the week I'm thinking about in particular, I had responded to two house fires which resulted in two families being left homeless, suicide of a 14-year-old boy, and three medical calls which were just absolutely traumatic. On top of that, I had several individuals from the church come in for counseling, and what they shared with me just really rocked me to my core, you know, trying to figure out what does it mean for God to allow suffering. It was a tough week, to say the least. So I was really looking forward to Sunday because I love Sundays. Sunday is a day to worship. It's a day to be renewed. It's a day to have your sins washed clean, to start off with a new clean plate, if you will, every week. And so I went to church, and the pastor's sermon was really good. It really gave me a lot of hope. And then it came time for communion, which is one of my favorite parts of the service. And I watched as one of the congregation's squeakiest wheels come forward to my side. Everyone would kneel around the rail. And so I was going around, and I was giving the host Christ's body, and I came to this woman, and I put it in her hands, and she looked up at me. And usually I get like a sweet look like, oh, thank you, Pastor. She opened her mouth, and from it spewed hatred and yelling, and I thought she was demonically possessed, in all honesty. And she was screaming at me in front of everyone because I had forgotten a prayer for her brother-in-law's birthday. And so she was yelling at me, and everyone was turning around, like looking at this woman like, oh, what did he do to her? And I was thinking in my head that I had essentially two choices at that time. I could either fight or I could flee. I could fight and take the host out of her hand before it entered her big sinful mouth and chastise her for disrespecting a man of God, serving her communion, and to tell her to shut her big mouth before she thinks about speaking again. That's what I wanted to do. That's what I wanted. And then just smack her for good luck. What I chose to do was to flee. To run away from the situation and to ignore it and treat it like it never happened. Well, now it's 2 years later, and hindsight is 20/20. And I realize now that I actually had three choices at that altar. To fight, which I wanted to do, to flee, which I chose to do, or to forgive, which to me was not even an option. And here's why, because Jane was a mean old woman, okay? She had talked bad about me several times. This was not the first time that she had offended me. This was not the first time that she had disrupted church with her big mouth. And it was hard to look at her in the face because I did not like her. And so when Peter asked the question to Jesus, Lord, how many times should my brother sin against me that I forgive them? Seven? I think that's being too gracious. And if you look at the historical context of it all, it is. Because the rabbis, the Jewish leaders at the time, were teaching that three times was enough to forgive someone of the same sin. Three times, which I still think is a little gracious. And then Jesus looks at Peter. He says, no. Not seven times, but 70 times seven. And suddenly we all become real interested in math and think 490 times. 490 times Jesus is calling me to forgive. What on earth? Does he know what forgiveness entails? I mean, it's hard enough to forgive once, right? Much less 489 more times. And if you find yourself doing the math and then start listing off people in your life and where they are in their tally mark towards their 490 times, I would say that you have a problem with forgiveness. Because what we ultimately realize and what Jesus says is that it's not the number of times that matter. It's that Christ calls us as beloved people to have an unending stream of forgiveness and grace that pours out of us, and that seems impossible. Because I know how you feel. You're sitting there thinking, but I've been wronged. People have hurt me in my life. People have said bad things about me. People have apologized before and they haven't meant it. So maybe if I knock all this off, I can make them change. Maybe if I hold a grudge against them, they'll become better people. And what all of this ultimately leads to is a state of unforgiveness. And in unforgiveness, whether you recognize it or not, you're harboring hatred and animosity and bitterness towards people in your heart. And when you're doing that, you want to have a sense of control over things, right? You like to be in control of your life. So maybe if you don't forgive, then you can be in control of the pain, right? Or maybe you can be in control of the other person. I don't need to let them back in my life. I have control over this because I haven't forgiven them. Maybe in some way I can have some power in this situation. And I think that is the root cause of our struggle with forgiveness, is our desire beyond all things to have power. But let me tell you this hard truth. That when you harbor hatred and bitterness and animosity in your heart, Scripture calls that murder. If you don't believe me, you can look it up. Matthew 5 or 1 John 3. It's murder. And I would go so far as to say, of course, you know, we can murder people in our hearts figuratively. You know, we kill the relationship. And ultimately, it can result in a literal murder of someone, so much hatred. But I would say that at the end of the day, the thing that we're most in danger of is killing ourselves. A spiritual suicide. To where we let all of this build up in our hearts and we let it consume us. The best way I've ever heard it put is that unforgiveness is a poison that you drink hoping that someone else will die. See, at the end of the day, unforgiveness does have power, but the person it has power over is you, is you. See, struggling with forgiveness, though, it's no new problem. And this is what Jesus talks about in this parable. And a parable is just a short story with spiritual significance. And so Jesus begins to tell it that a servant comes before a king, and the servant has an insurmountable amount of debt. If you do the math, he owes millions of dollars to this king, but he has no way to pay it. So the king says, well, I'm going to sell you off into slavery, which was common practice in the day to pay a debt. But this man responds and he begs and he says, no. And the king has mercy on him. He forgives him. He doesn't set up a payment plan or anything like that. He doesn't add a conditional statement. He doesn't say, I'll forgive you, but he forgives. And so the servant walks out freely forgiven of his debt, and he finds another servant who owes him money. And it's almost the exact same situation. The man can't pay it, but instead of having mercy, he chokes the guy and he throws him in jail. And of course, all this gets back to the king. And the king brings that wicked servant before himself and says some of the most prolific words about forgiveness, I think, in the New Testament. He says, I forgave you. Why didn't you show the mercy that I showed you to your fellow servant? Why didn't you show the mercy I showed you to your fellow servant? See, in this parable, the king is God. And you and I are the servant. And we come and we have an insurmountable debt before this king. And that insurmountable debt is sin. The things you've done, the things you haven't done, the things you've said behind people's backs, the things you've said to people's faces, how you've talked about people, how you've dealt with your money, how you've dealt with looking at images that maybe you shouldn't be looking at, maybe how you've dealt with your taxes. And so we stand before God with all this debt, all this sin, and the king looks out, God looks out, and he says, I forgive you. But someone has to pay the price. And so God sends his only son into the world. And that son dies, bearing all of our sin, bearing the full weight of humanity's sin. And because of that, in case you don't know this, you are forgiven. You have been saved. You have been redeemed. God loves you so much. It's not even funny. God loves you. Hallelujah. But let's go deeper. Why is it that we have such a hard time sharing the grace that we have been showed? Why is it that we have such a hard time forgiving? Let me ask you this. Can you believe in God's forgiveness, much less receive it, if you are unwilling to forgive other people? Can you know the mercy and love of God without it changing your life? No. No. See, all throughout the Gospels, being loved by God and loving your neighbor are indissoluble. Being forgiven and forgiving others are inseparable. So why is it that we battle so much with forgiveness? Who hurt you? Who talked behind your back? Who ruined your reputation? Who bullied you? Who abused you? Is holding on to any of that doing you any good in your life? Let me be so bold as to say that all of the stuff that you have harbored up in your heart, all those memories that you have of being wronged, all the hatred that you have towards those people is killing you. And if you disagree with me, then tell me how it's giving you life. Tell me how harboring all that stuff up in your heart is giving you life. Because I'll tell you this, if it's not giving you life, it's taking your life away. It's taking your life away. Who hurt you? What good is it doing? Maybe you're sitting here today and you're thinking, well, I don't have a problem with forgiveness, and well, good for you. But let me tell you this right now. If you're sitting here and you can think of someone and you have anger or hatred towards them, or you can bring up all their sin all at once and just throw it back in their face, then you haven't forgiven that person. I'm not saying that forgiveness and forgetting are equal. That is not true at all. There are things that have happened to you that you will never forget, but you can forgive. And so I would say this, that you don't forgive because it's the godly thing to do. You forgive because you need to. And if you're fighting forgiveness with someone, if someone has come to you and said, I'm sorry, and you're not there yet, if you're not ready to forgive them, don't. Be honest. Say to them, you know, I know that God forgives you beyond a shadow of a doubt, but I am still really wrestling with it, and I want to do this right. I want to show you the grace that God has shown me, but I want to take time to do that. I also want to say in all this that forgiving someone does not mean that you let them back in your life to hurt you. If you've been abused, if someone has hurt you in a way that I could probably not even understand, you can forgive them. You can let go of the animosity, the just hatred that you have towards them, and not put them back in a place in your life to abuse you again. That is okay. I'm your pastor, okay? It's okay. But at the end of the day, forgiveness is giving up your just right to be angry. Forgiveness at the end of the day is giving up your right to be angry and to hate. I really hated Jane. I really did. And it was really hard for me to forgive her. And I let her know that. There were no questions about how I felt about her. And I showed her that, and I showed a lot of other people that. But when I finally got to the point where I was able to forgive her, where I was able to look at her without the anger anymore, without having all of that harbored up in my heart. It helped me to grow closer with Jesus, because here's why. What Jane did to me in 1 year is no comparison for what I've done over the last 26 years to dishonor God, to dishonor myself, and to hurt others. See, I stand before the King with an insurmountable amount of debt, a huge lump of sin, and so do you. And here's what Jesus says is, you are forgiven. Why? Because he loves you. Pure and simple, because he loves you. Today is the day to start forgiving. Today is the day to quit drinking the poison, hoping that other people will die. Today is the day to take your signs that you've carried around with you that said you've hurt me, you've abused me, you've mistreated me, and turn them around and say, but I forgive you. Jesus loves you. So do I. Amen.